everything. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And you were just listening to William Vitalis sing Open My Heart to the World. Tonight is a very special evening because I have a guest that's on the other side of the world in a place that we call Down Under. But she's extremely special. As a matter of fact, I feel almost like she's family. We do about the same work, and I'm very excited to talk to her. She's an energetic healer, among other things, and her name is Teresa Daly. Good evening, Teresa.
G'day, Elizabeth. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Please tell me a little bit about yourself and your work in Australia.
Sure. My name's Teresa and I live in Tasmania, right in the bush. So I live off the grid with solar power and composting toilets and rainwater, and I grow all my own food, well, mostly the vegetables and fruit and things. I don't use a fridge, I don't have a television or any of that business. And so that's where I live. So I teach people how to step away from consumerism and step towards living more in the moment and more conscious lives, because all of those things, all that electricity and they're all big distractions. It's not the best thing to have in your life, but it's quite addictive, so it's hard for people to peel it back. So people either come for appointments or they come to stay and experience that. The other thing I do is I do readings for people. I'm a spiritual mentor. I'm qualified Reiki and flower essence therapist and yoga teacher. But what I do is sit with people and they don't speak with me. Some people can have email readings or whatever, and I can see into them what's going on and why everything is the way that it is, and how they can change things and what they need to do in order to be holding more light in their lives.
Oh, you know, this is so wonderful. It is a dream come true. I want the callers to know that this is a call-in show. And if anybody wants to call Teresa and ask her a question, the number at BBS Radio is 888-627-6008. Teresa, I just finished writing a book that came through spirit to me. To me, it's a very deep, new way of being, and it's about spontaneous healing. And I work with something called the spiritual chakras. And I have been given the spiritual chakras, laid them out. I know where they are on a body. I know about the universal body and how we're going to be living differently. And what I wanted to do was find a place that was off the grid, on a farm, that grew its own food, so I could start to teach people the same thing that you're doing.
It's very good work, Elizabeth. I think that we are changing. Our bodies are changing on a cellular level. We have the opportunity now to be holding, and we will have more opportunity to be holding a lot more energy of a higher frequency. And so, you know, we don't really need all these mobile phones and whatever if we can be telepathic. I mean, so that's one thing that we can be working towards. And I think that's a very real thing. I know.
I think that's the coming thing for the next for this next generation. We are going to become telepathic. I tell that to everybody. We're going to learn how to do that, especially with our family and loved ones and anyone who touches our life. And what it's going to do is give us compassion. Don't you agree, Teresa?
Yeah. Yes, it is. And I think that, I mean, I already do that, and I know that one. What's quite easy is telepathically communicating with the animals, because they don't have that sense of ego self. So they know, but they don't know that they know. So, it's amazing. So that's a good way to start. But I think that the first and most important thing is, which is what my work is dedicated towards, is that all of this is here. All of this is here within us, and we have this. We absolutely are this, and we have this potential. The trouble is that we have so many, like if you imagine a river that's got all these dams in the way blocking the energy flow. So a lot of people think we have to work at that energy flow, we have to learn something. We actually need to start unblocking the dams, which is creating this river of life not to flow through us. And there's a lot of blocks in the physical body due to people's diet.
Why don't you tell us how that works? Let's do an example of how you would unblock somebody. Okay, Teresa, I'm coming to you and I'm going to ask you, do you see that I'm blocked? And if so, where?
Okay, so I'd have a look at you and I would be able to see, just by not touching, just and I would be able to see, first of all,
energetically,
intuitively, but using my mind, and look at, and then be able to see, well, if there's any physical blocks, where they are, why, emotional blocks, mental blocks, energy blocks, and I could just be able to see that and know why. So that might be, it might be manifesting as someone being very selfish or very scared or very unable to leave old habits, and then that would link back to, generally it links back to an association with the chitta part of the mind hold, so a memory, so maybe something happened in a past life or childhood or something which created an association which then creates behaviour. A good example of that would be, you know, if you see a beautiful cake and you instantly think, oh, cake, you know, yum, I want to eat it. But actually, the mind just sees the cake. It's only because you have a memory that the cake tastes good that you actually want to eat it. So we have all of these memories and we have all of these associations that within us, and some of them are great and some of them aren't great. So being able
I have
to...
a story about that, Teresa. When I was a little girl, my mother used to make lemon meringue pie, and I loved the meringue. Well, it was Christmas time and she was doing some Christmas decorations and I saw this bowl on the dining room table that looked like meringue. So I put my finger in to have a taste and of course it was soap.
That'll teach you. That got me. Sticking fingers in the bowls that don't belong.
It's the same thing with judgments. I want to try to talk a little bit about what I'm finding out is called what I call a chemical reaction. It's with judgments. If I walked into a room and I reminded somebody, people of somebody that they cared about, then I would get a warm hello. Whereas if I walked in a room and I reminded somebody of somebody they just had a recent fight with, then I would be judged. Yes. And this is how we do judgment. It isn't logical to not like somebody when you first meet them. It's always because of something inside that's happened before, don't you think?
Yes. I mean, but this is how everything operates, because if we didn't have what in yoga is understood as chitta, which is the part of the mind which is memory and associations, well, the ego self, which is not a bad thing, if we didn't have the ego self, we wouldn't be able to think or do anything.
That's right.
So the ego self, if it didn't have memory, I mean, I wouldn't be able to talk to you right now because I'd be forgetting to even sit here. I don't know what I'd be doing, walking around in circles perhaps, or standing on my head, or not even know that I was doing that. So it's a good thing, but these things form blocks within us. When we have these memories and we have these associations and when we have these bad habits, but mostly, you know, when we're in the middle of it, we can't see that we
absolutely
have,
you never can see your own stuff.
No, we just don't know, or we just think that, you know, we don't, you know, a lot of people don't even.
When we become aware, we either deny it, blame somebody else, or we don't own up to it. Now, I want to ask you, what happens after somebody begins to get clear? Why should we get clear? So what if we have an ego and all these things going on? So what? We're having a good time, you know? Why should we bother to get clear?
Okay. I think that, you know, well, not I think. I know that our natural state of being is a very harmonious, healthy, peaceful, happy, joyous, fun, wonderful, like a child on Christmas Day. You know, that's what every day should be like. And because of all of these blocks and all of these things that we have within us, and fears and false feelings towards, you know, having to do a certain thing and all the rest of it.
And certain conditioning.
And all of that. And conditioning is a part of that memory, and associations business in the chitta part of the mind. That's C-H-I-T-T-A. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all of this causes us to become, you know, people get sick, sometimes mildly, sometimes severely. They have trouble communicating. They're not 100% happy. They're not living in the moment. They don't see the joy and the beauty in absolutely everything, even if that is your goat trashing and eating your cabbages. You know, there's still beauty in that.
One thing to remember is that we live our lives in fear. We live our lives in what do we have to do next. So in a sense, we live our lives in judgment and we're not living ourselves. Right. And as we take on all of these things, we take on something called dis-ease.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
We take on, and that's when we're lacking harmony. And so many people, and in our, I don't know about, you know, in times gone by, but in this very time right now, so many people, they feel happy or healthy for a day and they think, oh my God, this is amazing. You think, my goodness, you should only be feeling sad or sick once in a while and amazing the rest of the time. And we're so used to feeling stressed, unhealthy, bewildered, full of fear, confused. We're so
argumentative.
Oh, argumentative and defensive and tired, so tired. All of these things and unable to sleep and having all these ailments and labeling things. We're so accustomed to that. What, you know, is a thought and a counter thought and a thought and a counter thought and having hardly any peace. So that, you know,
peace and content.
We're so used to it that we think that, you know, it's impossible to have, but it's actually a natural, and it's very easy to come back to that natural state, although it does take a level of wanting it and willingness.
Inner strength.
You know, you need to be open to it, and it does take, I mean, I know I'm very dedicated and disciplined in my lifestyle and the way I live, because this is so important for me to be feeling this, and because of my work.
How did you start your work, Teresa? I'm so excited. How did you start your work? What brought you to this knowledge?
Oh my goodness. Well, I think that it's always been there. And as a little child, I grew up in the bush, which is like, I think you call the forest or something.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's all trees and whatever. I grew up there in Queensland, in the top of Australia. And I just grew up running around with no clothes on up the beach and up the trees and everything all day. And I could always hear those tree spirits and feel them. I never felt alone. And then as I got older, of course, you get conditioned and my family never believed in all the rest of it. So it took a long time to peel all that back, but it was always there with me. I could always look into somebody and really see what was going on. But it was actually the ability to learn to guide that and not control it, but, you know, to guide it and to be able to focus it. And so that's what I have the ability to do now, and I use that ability to help other people.
And give us an example of how you would help somebody. Give us an example about how you would give a reading.
Okay, so I work intuitively. I don't use cards or whatnot. So I've done a couple of readings this morning already, actually. And so someone comes along and we sit down and they don't say anything. And I just sit down and just open the energy, then hold their hands. And I tune in and then a whole heap of information comes through. And the information that comes through is what's really important to them right now.
Right from their subconscious, correct.
Right from that minute then, not what they think or whatever. So then I explain all of that and it generally, you know, brings a great release. It's the hearing of it. And sometimes it'll bring laughing or crying or just a great release and a deepness of breathing and a relaxation just by hearing this. And then I explain all of that and I say, right, now here's the situation and now here's what you can, so it's very practical. So my spiritual mentoring is very, very practical. So I would
give us an example of what you might say to somebody. Let me hear you say something.
So the lady this morning, I said to her, this is caused through a lack of movement in the body. You need to do yoga asana, very gentle yoga asana. That's the positions you need to do. Yoga asana is very important in the positions of the body. And it's to do with your circulation. And because of this physical stuff that was happening for her, I said, this will start getting moving, the other stuff. And for her as well, her husband's going through some changes and she really takes things on. And I said, your lesson in this is to be able to step back and to be able to disassociate, hold the space, but don't take it on board. This is a huge, I mean, she
is very hard for somebody not to take it on. They don't know how. If I was out with you and I said, I like that dress, it's pretty, I don't have the money, but I'd like to buy it, you might tend to buy it for me. I call that taking on. And yes. It's not right really for people to take on other people's stuff. And they don't know how and they become guilty. I was just talking to a client today whose father had been in jail. And he really had a problem. And here he is now, he's dying of cancer, and she feels like she has to go see him every single day. And she doesn't. And I said, what is it inside of you that makes you feel that way? Well, she's going in anger. She's not going in love. She's going in anger. You have to say this to me before you die or else. And that's very sad, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, it well, I wouldn't say it's sad, but it's I mean it's very real. It's very
It's unaware though. That's what I call it's
very
taking
unaware.
On.
It's very unaware, and I think that for the most
Right.
part, people live their lives for the most part, 99.9% of the time, in a state of just like being asleep. They go about their day here, there, and everywhere, and really they may as well just be asleep. They're not really aware of what they're doing or saying or interacting
with. You know, people can live these lives, and some of them can be culturally uplifting, and some of them can work for corporations and perhaps give to mankind, but they're really not alive, and they don't get it.
No, and it's a sad, it's, I know, but the most amazing thing is that when you really can have what's called buddhi, the higher mind, when that's really in the seat and not the chitta, not the ego, and when the buddhi's in the seat directing the others, which is how it should be, and it is just amazing how everything will flow and how everything happens so perfectly and so beautifully. And you think
I call that's called a gift from the universe or tuning in or becoming one with the universe when it flows. But you know what I find, Teresa? I find that can happen on occasion, but it can't happen all the time. So we haven't learned how to tune into that and stay with it.
Well, it can happen. It absolutely can happen all the time. Although, yes, it does take some work. And that's what I mean about the lifestyle thing. I mean, with diet and with televisions and with mobile phones. See, the mind is stimulated by senses. That's what our senses stimulate the mind. So the more you've got a phone in your pocket and a television on and 25 people you're talking to and 100 things you're doing, you're constantly being distracted from being in that state of awareness. So, I mean, that's all well and good. You know, we do live lives with these things, but to use discretion to be able to peel that back. But we can have that state that, you know, that you call that connected to the universe state. That is our natural state. That is absolutely.
It's called the state of being. I call it the state of being.
That is our natural state, you know. That is absolutely natural, and it is possible and available to every single person on this planet. Every single person, it is available to them right now. So, you know, you got to choose. Do you want your beer and your steak and your telly show, or do you want to be like really, really happy?
You know, this is Elizabeth Joyce, and this is Let's Find Out. I am talking to Teresa from Australia, and we are having a wonderful conversation about what is the real depth of natural healing. And Teresa, what is your website?
My website is the three W's, of course. In a life, inalife.com.au.
And we're going to come back with Teresa Daly in a few minutes after we take this break.
Very quiet, and you'll realize that if you're truly born of God, is deep within me, for I've got God, God's got me. Together we walk in harmony, from the pride of the birds to the age of the seas. I know His strength is deep within me.
And that was Annabella Wood with I've Got God. She composed that song, and it's one of my very favorites. I thought it was appropriate tonight because we're talking about how we can get God with my friend Teresa Daly from Australia. We're talking about living off the grid. Can you imagine? No electronics, living in the bush or in the woods or in the country in a log cabin, and being happy, balanced, and opening up to your spiritual reality. And I'd like to hear a little bit more, Teresa, about how you live every life. Do you ever get bored?
Oh, no, never.
And why is that?
Oh, I'm pretty busy. I have to chop all my own wood and all the rest of it because the wood-fired oven heats the water, and there's a fair bit of work to do on the property. But aside from that, I do my work as a spiritual mentor. And aside from that, I'm always wanting to do something. Like at the moment, I'm learning to card and spin my own wool to make some rugs for my teepee for running workshops from. And I'm going to build a wood-fired kiln next. And I've just finished this teepee and with an adobe floor and all the rest of it. And so, yeah, I'm pretty busy, and I'm learning the guitar, and I do a lot of yoga. And yeah, I mean, honestly, I get up
you
about 4.
You would love Annabella. You would love Annabella.
I know. Her song is great. Her song is great.
So how in the world, if you live out in the country the way that you do, how do you get clients? And you do have a computer.
Yeah.
So how do you get clients? How do you get people to come to you?
That is my one thing. I do love the old internet, you know. you can keep your fridge and your TV and all the rest of it, but the old internet, my God, it's just good. Well, people come up here. I live at the top of a mountain in the middle of the bush, and the closest town's about half an hour's drive away. But people will come up here to see me, or I do readings for people either through Skype, or I can do email. So if someone emails me a photograph, I can do a reading. I did a couple of them this morning and sent them off.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's really good. So that's how people come to see me, or people come to stay. I've got a young couple from Sydney. They're coming from Boxing Day until about the 2nd of January to come and stay for a week. And they want to come and experience this lifestyle and escape, you know, imagine what Sydney
is. Sure.
Was.
And it's amazing, you know, it's almost like the Buddhists have vistas all around the United States, and you go and you live off the grid and you sit and you meditate. And it's very, I am comparing it to that because it's very similar. But it's also, it really opens your heart to spirituality. Yet, as you said, we feel like we have to go back to our mainstream life. So perhaps as they're with you, they clear away enough and then they can almost have a new beginning.
Yes. And I mean, look, not everybody, it's not for everybody to be living in the bush like this. And you know, it's not about where you live. It's what you carry within yourself.
Absolutely.
And it's how, you know, it's not, I could be living in, I personally couldn't handle living in the middle of the city, but people living in the city, there's no reason that you can't be connected to your true conscious self. You can't be growing some of your own food and you can't be happy.
As a matter of fact, I don't know if you've heard of Amarita Nandamayi. She's the Holy Mother. She's known as the hugging saint. And she comes to Australia, and I've been with her 25 years. I'm part of the staff in New York City. And she says that we should grow our own gardens here. Even if we live in the city, we can have them on the balcony and learn how to do that.
Oh, yes, you can have beehives and everything. I mean, bees are amazing, and they're going through a bit of trouble at the moment. So, absolutely, you can grow your own food, and you can buy fair trade. And, you know, if you can't do it yourself, that's all right, but you can support someone who's doing the right thing. Like, you can buy fair trade, and you can buy organic, and you can support. I can say, well, hey, you know, I can't grow my own whatever it is because of the climate or whatever. Doesn't matter. I can support you, and you're doing it perfectly, and and I'm supporting you to help the earth and to help
people. Sure.
It's about community, you know. I'm really involved in the community here where I live, and we have a really amazing community. And it's about community. We don't all need to have an apple tree. We need to share, and we need to work together. And you know, I can share my apples with you, and you might have pears, and I can come and do a day's work at your house, and you can come and do a day's work at my house.
You know what? I think we're getting back to that, Teresa. I really do. I think we might even be taken off the grid, either electronically or maybe with the meteorite. That's what they're saying 2012 is about. I'm about to ask you about 2012. But it would not be a horror show to go back to living more simply. We have too much in our lives, and it's making us into robots and computers who can't think.
Yeah, no, it's not a healthy lifestyle for us.
The Bucks County Metaphysical Association, better known as the BCMA, is a nonprofit organization for the community, teaching love, self-care, and self-responsibility by combining and sharing our talents with others. The BCMA does this by combining classes, workshops, and special events with monthly general meeting lectures to keep you informed about the health and welfare of the Bucks County, Pennsylvania community. We are in our fifth year of community service and are known as the Metaphysical Education Center of Bucks County. Please join us for our upcoming classes, retreats, and events. Not only will it be interesting, fun, networking, and informative, but you will also be supporting many of our local Bucks County charities. When you give your time and service to others, you open your heart and grow spiritually. We hope to be seeing many of you on the third Thursday night of the month, September through June, at the Circle of Miracles Church, 10 Beulah Road, New Britain Township, Pennsylvania. The meetings begin at 7 p.m. with a meditation. For a list of our charities, as well as our calendar of events, go to www.thebcma.net. Again, that's www.thebcma.net. Wisdom Magazine is one of the East Coast's largest free publications, with more than 1,000 distributed bimonthly in three regional areas: New England, New York City and New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Wisdom is dedicated to opening the people's hearts and minds to the philosophy, products, and services of the new millennium, bringing love, peace, and positive information into the community. Elizabeth writes the astrology column for Wisdom, as well as a weekly astrology update for the Wisdom Magazine website. Visit us at wisdom-magazine.com to view our web edition. The X-Zone is a late-night internationally syndicated radio, television, satellite, and internet talk show, which deals with a variety of subjects, but usually ones that relate to the world of the paranormal, metaphysics, and the science of parapsychology. It was created by the Canadian broadcaster Rob McConnell and first aired in 1993. The X-Zone airs 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time, and is distributed internationally by the X-Zone Broadcast Network. It is hosted by the show's creator and executive producer, Rob McConnell. The X-Zone Radio Show is located in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. The X-Zone Radio and TV Show is the only Canadian radio show that is syndicated to a truly international listening and viewing audience via conventional professional broadcasting and satellite means, not only the Internet. The X-Zone is syndicated on an international basis outside of Canada and has more than 400,000 listeners as an international audience. Listen for Elizabeth Joyce and Rob McConnell on the X-Zone at www.xzoneradiotv.com. Opening your spiritual chakras is the next stage of your physical body's shifting reality. Your body is now merging with your etheric or universal body and the new spiritual chakra centers. You will begin to experience a realm of many vibrant, prismatic colors and dancing energy patterns will emerge. By opening your spiritual chakras and merging with your universal body, you will come together in marvelous ways, and new spiritual powers will begin to emerge into your body system. The chakras are your major energy centers, and they allow you to transform your physical body and integrate with its spiritual body to function properly in the new fifth dimension energies. To accomplish these complex intertwining procedures, the spiritual hierarchy intends to bring forth four additional chakras as soon as possible: the eighth, the 8.5, the 9th, and the 10th. These four new chakra centers will permit you to manage the immensity of multidimensional information inherent to your new physical body. The physical body will be walking in sync with the universal body. In addition, the four spiritual chakras will transform the other seven, thereby allowing them to take on many new responsibilities. Elizabeth Joyce has created a new CD to help you open your spiritual chakras. This is very valuable and is one of the primary ways needed for you to begin the ascension process and work well in the fifth dimension energies that are now coming onto the planet. In addition to the four spiritual chakras and the seven regular physical chakras, there is an extra chakra, the foot chakra, or the zero chakra. This is your earth grounding center, and it is located at the balls of your feet. Above the crown chakra are four more numbers, 8, 10, 11, and 12. The main purpose of these extended chakras, which has always been a part of the energetic field, including our aura, is to enable the individual to tune into his or her inner God self, the divine will, and even the galactic community that surrounds and supports the earth in its evolution. This is a CD that you will want to have and work with on a daily basis between now and December 21st, 2012. It is available here at bbsradio.com under the Let's Find Out page, as well as Elizabeth Joyce's personal website, www.new-visions.com. Be sure to get the CD, Opening Your Spiritual Chakras, with music by Richard Schulman, so that you can advance yourself and find security in these new, wonderful fifth dimension energies. Again, that's www.new-visions.com or bbsradio.com under Let's Find Out. You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com, Station 1. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. Let's Find Out and our honored guests come to us every other Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you would like to call in and ask a question, please dial 888-627-6008 in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Now, if you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety, a podcast will be available tomorrow, and you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with our host, Elizabeth Joyce.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. he speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
Talk a little bit about what you see for 2012 and what it means to you. You know, we're almost there. We're in November. I'd like you to speak a little bit about that energy.
Yeah, sure. There are some big energy shifts going on at the moment, and there was a really big raining down of energy just at the last eclipse that was just about a week ago. And it takes a little while for this to take effect, like within our dimension, within our earth plane. There is a change going on. I don't know whether it's going to be, you know, a complete destruction and all this business. I don't think that's probably true. But I do think it's a shift in consciousness, and I do think that it's an awakening. I think it's an awakening, and I think it's about living more responsibly. So, do you really need to own? I mean, I own two pairs of shoes. Why do you need to own 10 pairs of shoes? And why is Christmas about buying things on your credit card? And why do we have to be so fat and eat so much? Wouldn't it be better to have one really good, healthy, coming from what we need rather than just I want?
And yeah, that's the me first society. These young people don't know any different. It's the me first society because they've never been without, and they feel like the world owes them, and that's an attitude that's called arrogance, and that really needs to change. And I wanted to ask you also about when somebody has a healing with you. I know when I work with people, I always feel that they can hold the energy for about 5 days, and that then they start feeling out of sorts again. Do you agree with that? They have to come back, and the longer that they come, the healings are more cumulative. The more that they come, the longer they can hold the new energy. This energy is a true gift that's coming on the planet.
Yes. Now, I think that depends on the worker, like you or me or whoever the naturopath or whatever it is, and the person. I think that the way that it tends to work with me is that people don't come back. They generally come and they'll have a reading. I have people that might every 6 months to a year have a check-in and see to take them to the next level. But it's generally what comes through is what they really need to know. And I explain all of that. And then I say, Elizabeth, did you understand? Yeah. And I can see. And if you didn't, I'd say, right, I'd get it to you again, and I would give them practical things that they could do, okay, you need to do this yoga, or you really need to avoid eating this, or this is what you need to do, create this space, whatever it is. And then that person then goes about, and I can see it within them, or even see it doing an email, because I do, people can email me a photograph, and I'll email the reading back to them. And even that, it's amazing. There's a few testimonials on the websites, but, you just see there's this click. It's like something clicks and it changes, and the new energy can start to flow through, but only to where you're ready.
And then what?
But then the next thing will happen for that.
It's called processing. You have to process.
Yes, and it has to process on a cellular level. It processes on a physical level, and all the rest of it. And it just depends on that person and how ready they are. But this is the amazing thing. You're asking about 2012. This is the amazing thing. The energy now at the moment is lifting. So we have such an amazing opportunity to hold more light and to be able to make this change much more quickly and much more effectively than ever before in human history.
I know. It's incredible. And we're going to live this way. Now, I want to ask you, do you know the author Greg Braden?
No.
Okay, because he's a top scientist, and he has worked with this work. So I'm going to tell my audience in the United States that this work is similar to what Greg Braden writes about when he writes the spontaneous healing and when he writes all of the books about this new energy. And this new energy is extremely powerful and is extremely thorough. For example, if you have had a falling out with your parents and you are still carrying that anger and you don't know how to heal it, and you sit down in the new energy and you meditate and you bring that in, you can have a healing happening while you're meditating. And when you get up, your heart can be changed and you can come together in at least some kind of a civil association. That's a description of the practical side of how it works. Correct, Teresa?
Yeah, that is absolutely right. That is bloody spot on, I reckon.
And it's important that we heal these things. It's important that if our son isn't talking to us, that we sit down and go into the energies, go into his energy and send the love. And it's important for us to own up to whatever we've done to hurt somebody. If somebody's angry at me, I want to know what I did to hurt them. And sometimes it's an illusion. And the only thing you can say is God bless you in your truth. But you have to still understand where they are, that they may be a little bit off center, or that you may have been a little bit off center, or maybe both of you were, and find a common ground. Because this warring between souls, I believe, is the point of 2012, that we're going into a new era. And you're right, the era is going to take some time, probably 30 years, to really manifest. The new moon, all eclipses, since I'm an astrologer, all eclipses have 6 months of energy. So you'll feel the energy of this eclipse, and we're having a new one on Monday. You'll feel this during the winter months as we go into the spring months, January, February, March, April. And then you'll begin to understand what direction you're going in. But suppose that you've been out of work and you can't get a job and you don't know what to do. If you go into the energies and you see yourself in the work, you see yourself working, you could manifest a job. Isn't that true, Teresa?
Well, I think the main thing, getting back to what I was saying at the beginning of that river of life, that the job is not the issue, or manifesting is not. I mean, we at all times can have, and we actually do have, everything that we need for that moment for the best thing for us. So if I didn't have a job, that would be the best thing for me at that time, for what, to learn something or whatever that the case may be. So it would be about, if that person didn't have a job and they really, to look at, well, why? You know, why, what is the lesson behind that? Is it because, I mean, who knows? It could be any reason at all. It could be that they don't have self-worth. They don't have self-confidence. They haven't committed to learning a skill properly, and so they're unskilled, so that they need to learn about resilience and dedication, or whatever the case may be. What we can do is we can ask ask our own self, if we're really ready, we can say, okay, I am really ready now to allow spirit to dwell in me fully, so that all that is mine will come to me, and I let go of all that's blocking my path. But not just say it, and not just say it and then sit back down and keep going, waiting for it to suddenly arrive by mail.
But we don't know how. We don't know how to do it. We can say it, and we can maybe sincerely mean it, but we just don't have the tool to do it yet. Well, and that's what's coming.
Well, to sit there, to sit down and just to connect with the breath, and the natural breath, just gently in and out, down to the feet, just to just connect with the breath, to let go, to let go, to let go. And then to see coming in down through the crown chakra, to invite the light in and see the whole body filling with light, and checking every little part. You don't need to identify it, but to let go of everything within you. This is the hard thing, to let go with everything within you. And just allow and have faith that everything that's for you, you will be. You will be.
But I also think that it's important to set conditions, Teresa, especially with family. You know, some people want to marry, they want to have children, they want to have a meaningful life, and they want to have a connection to spirit as well. It's very hard to keep all of that in balance. But you need to set conditions. You need to at least be able to say, this is what I would like to bring to the planet, or I have a talent I'd like to enhance on. And don't you think that can help you shift into a positive, maybe give you more insight or more knowledge about what you're trying to accomplish?
Well, what I think is that I think that life or God or the field or consciousness or whatever, which is what we all are anyway, I think that is infinitely, without measurement, more intelligent, more powerful than I and my so-called thoughts and wishes could ever, ever want to be. So I trust that if I allow myself to be fully what I truly am, whatever that is, that will be far and beyond whatever I could think of, you know, without whatever I could think of or imagine. So I suppose it's that's where that trust comes in, that if I know that you, if I trust that you know me really, really well, and you come to stay, you're coming for Christmas, but I don't have to tell you what to get me for Christmas. I don't need to tell you what I need.
Because you'll know, sure.
You know more than me. All I need to do is be willing to accept it and to let go of what I think I need and my conditions and be willing to accept what is truly for me. I remember sitting in my teepee and I just remember sitting there going, you know what? Whatever, I accept whatever is for me, good or bad or indifferent. I don't care. Whatever is mine, that's ownership. I want it. I'm ready for it. Send it to me. I send whatever into my life is for me. So if anything that comes through, which is so-called bad, which it didn't, but it doesn't matter, then it's something for me to deal with. It's some karma that I need to clear or whatever. Great. Send it. Let's get it out of the road. Right. If it's anything good, send that as well. And the most amazing things and people and yourself, what happens is you come into your life.
I do have a question that's coming now.
Yes.
Most people feel that they have to suffer before they get. They feel that they have to go through the dark part of the soul before it opens up to the light. For example, let's talk about saving money or getting money. People are taught that they have to save their whole life and then they have to have retirement. And now we're here and we may lose our retirement. Let's talk a little bit about that so that we can help others.
Okay. If I was really fat or something or smoking a lot of cigarettes and I wanted to be healthier, yeah, I'm going to have to work hard to stop my habit of eating that bad food and to do that exercise or what. Yes, of course. It's not that we need to go through pain and suffering in order to reap a reward. I think that's a misinterpreted thing coming from Christianity, which I don't think is true. I think sacrifice is not about suffering. Sacrifice is about letting go of what stands in your way.
So sacrifice is letting go of what you think is good for you so that you can open up to what is.
That's correct. So if I'm smoking all the time, it's not a sacrifice to give up cigarettes. I'm not going to be punished. It's not a bad thing. What I'm doing is what I really want is good health. And I want to be able to live longer so that I can see.
A lot of people say, I don't know if you remember the movie star Robert Mitchum, but he smoked until he died and he was on oxygen in the hospital and he was still having his cigarettes. And that's an addiction. It's true. And when you see something like that, it's amazing. And you don't know whether it's a sickness, whether it's lack of reverence or what, but what can you say about that? Anything?
That's just his choice. And I think that we all do things which we feel are serving us. I mean, you might look at me and think, Teresa, that is not serving you. And I might even look at me and go, Teresa, that is not serving you. But whether or not I am ready to take that step or to have, maybe that's exactly what I need right now for whatever reason. I could tell if I'm doing a reading for someone a bit, but for generally, I mean, look, who knows? There could be a million reasons as to why we do things and why we hold on to things. But at the end of the day, that river, the consciousness, the field, God, whatever, that we actually are, that's what we are. You know, when you go into meditation and you look at the brow center and you look into that space and you look behind the mind, behind everything, that field that is there, that's what we really are. But in order to be here, we need to have a mind and we need to have an ego and we need to have memory and we need to have thinking so that we can operate within this field.
And we also need to use our talents. For example, if you're here to bring in one of the new medicines on the planet, or if you're here to give to mankind in some way, you need to be able to do that without cluttering up the mess.
Well, yes, and to be well, you couldn't be able to do anything if you didn't have your ego, your mind, and your thinking mind. I mean, you wouldn't even be able to scratch your own nose or do it, even probably open your own eyes. I mean, yeah, you know, we do need to fulfill our talents, and that's but that's understanding. That's another whole different kettle of fish altogether. That's knowing our true gift. We don't even need, you know, that's being our true gift, not what we've been told. Not, you know, oh, gee, Elizabeth, you're really great at the piano. You've got a gift. You should be a piano player. So poor Elizabeth then turns out bloody practicing all the time to become a piano player. And actually, that wasn't it. She was a healer, or she was an accountant, or she was a mother. And we all have different intelligence. I mean, we are all intelligent beings. There's different types. Some people are intelligent as mothers. Some people have friendship intelligence. Some people have mathematical intelligence. Some people have a gardening intelligence. Musical intelligence, the list goes on.
But my point was, Teresa, that we have to put it to use. We need to remember to put it to use, our gifts, because some people don't. I mean, look at some of the tragedies that we've had with people that get themselves into such messes when it comes to their lives, they can't function. This is what I'm trying to address, because I really wanted to guide people into how they can lift that burden from them.
Yeah. But but only if that soul, if that being, only if I am ready and want to.
Right. So but I want to talk a little bit about that, because that can transform your life. What transforms our life is the power of love. What transforms our life is when we do something that we absolutely love. And sometimes it can take half our life to find out what that is.
Yes.
I can remember this summer being with Alma and being with a lady called Pujita, who is an excellent healer from Japan. And I was working with her at her desk, and we were talking about the healing techniques that are coming on the planet and all the new work. I was in heaven. It didn't matter if I ever went home. I didn't care where I lived or what I was doing. I wanted to be doing this. And I felt like I was floating. It was such a beautiful feeling.
Yeah,
and it was complete. Something inside felt so complete.
Yes. And don't you feel such compassion for people who are just sitting there doing nothing.
Complaining. Yes, I do.
But even not even bothering complaining, like, I mean, just sitting there, particularly people who are young and fit and able-bodied and everything, and, you know, they're just there doing nothing. And I just think, oh, my goodness, how boring that you can be doing all these amazing things. You know, we can be creating, we can be living, we can be loving, we can be exploring, we can be meditating, we can be doing all these amazing things. And to sit there and to do nothing, absolutely.
And, you know, part of that is diet. And we could talk about Monsanto and all this mixing food with chemicals. And that's part of why the bees are going nuts, because they're not eating the right foods. The nectar isn't nectar anymore. Anyway, it's been wonderful having you on. We're at the end of the show. It went very fast. I'm thrilled talking to you. And we will have you back, because I would like to have you back and have you talk about techniques. Maybe give us some lessons in yoga, or teach us how to breathe. That would be a very interesting event. And
that would be wonderful.
A new way. That's what we'll do. Now that we know who you are, Teresa, we'll have you back, and you can show us some of the things that you teach and share our hearts with yours. And this is Elizabeth Joyce, and Let's Find Out. And next week, which will be the next time I'm on, is December 3rd. So we'll already be in that wonderful holiday month. My guest will be Robin Miller, and she's a clairvoyant, and we'll have some wonderful conversations with Robin. Right now, we're going to go into our meditation, which is called Sat Nam, which means with God. And it is a little bit of a yoga meditation. And so if you'll prepare yourself and you'll sit with both feet flat on the floor, take some deep breaths, take another deep breath, and get ready to close your eyes and do the meditation. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and I'll be back on December 3rd. Thank you and good night.
Sit with both feet flat on the floor, lean back, and relax. Take a deep breath, release the breath. Sit with your spine straight, and we are going to begin the Sat Nam. You turn your head to the left for the word Sat. You come back to the center Then you turn your head to the right for Nam. Sat Nam means with God. It's Sanskrit. We're going to do this exercise 16 times. Sat Nam. 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 Take a deep breath and hold. Release the breath. Now I want you to start breathing from your solar plexus. Breathe in and out very quickly. This is called the breath of fire, and we will do this for 30 seconds to 1 minute. It's good for you to get this exercise up to 3 minutes if possible, but that can take almost a year to do. So let's begin with the breath of fire. Keep it going. Almost there. Take a deep breath and hold. Now I want you to begin the ring of fire. Picture a huge fire ring around the top of your head. And we're going to bring it down over the body. Let's burn away your negativity. Bring down the ring of fire. Bring it down over the body, around the hips, down the legs, and throw it into the center of the earth. We'll do this 2 more times. Ring of fire around the top of the head, down the shoulders, around the body, down the legs, and throw it into the center of the earth. Ring of fire above the top of the head, down the shoulders, around the body, around the hips, down the legs, and throw it into the center of the earth. Now be still for a moment, closing your eyes. Do not open your eyes during a meditation because that breaks the circuit, the electrical circuit that you're building. We're going to start working the chakras. So we're going to do swirling wheels of light. And we'll picture the color red. We'll have a swirling wheel of light. And it will come in to the third eye. And it will be placed down at the bottom of your spine. And it always swirls in a clockwise position. So bring in the root chakra. Swirling whirl of red light. Place it at the base of your spine. The root chakra represents fidelity, loyalty, strength, and service. Now we'll picture an orange swirl of light. Bring that into the body and down and place it above the root chakra. This is your second chakra or your health chakra. Swirling orange light. And the words for the second chakra are receiving and creativity. Now we're going to picture a larger circle of green light. This is the solar plexus and it is the largest chakra on the body. Bring the green swirling wheel into your third eye and bring it down and place it behind your navel. This is your solar plexus chakra. And the words to put into your solar plexus chakra are gut feeling reaction, integrity, the will, and knowing what to do. The root chakra is the last yang chakra. Now we go to the heart center. So we'll bring in a yellow swirling wheel of light, always going in a clockwise position, and it's going to come in right at your heart. Bring in this beautiful yellow light. Yellow wheel of swirling light is your heart center. And this brings you joy, happiness, laughter, and good feelings. Also, forgiveness is at the heart center. So let that wheel turn for you along with the others in a perfectly balanced harmony. Now we'll begin with the yin chakras. Picture a swirling light blue wheel of light and bring that into the throat center, which is a little bit below the neck, just at your clavicle. So let's see this beautiful swirling blue light. And the words for the throat chakra are sincerity, clarity, abundance, affluence, as well as discernment. So let that come in and then we'll start the dark blue, indigo, light for the third eye. And we'll swirl that wheel, and we'll bring that right into the third eye. Feel that swirling around you. Feel your third eye perhaps throbbing a bit. The third eye represents your freedom. The third eye is where you watch your etheric body go out of you and go other places to do other things. This is where you witness the out-of-body experience as well as your past lives and your astral projection. The words for the third eye are freedom, knowledge, wisdom, and clarity. And that is the third eye. And now we'll go on to the crown center. Picture a beautiful violet silver light coming into your top of your head. This is the crown center, and the light is coming down from the divine. And this is opening up your thousand petal lotus blossom at the top of your head. And the words for the crown chakra are bliss, grace, immortality. And this is what joins you to your blessed higher self as well as your soul school. Open up the crown chakra and allow the Chakti energies to come in through the body and go down through all the chakras down to your root chakra. Sit for a minute and let the chakra wheels spin. Now very carefully, I want you to go into the root chakra and push it up to the second chakra, up to the solar plexus, up to the heart center, up to the throat center, and push the chakras out through your third eye. Release the chakras back into the universe to do their recharging for you. And now let's bring down that thousand petal lotus blossom out through the third eye and release the chakra out into the universe so it can recharge for you when you're ready to work your chakras again. And now you can just sit and surround yourself with white light. Surround yourself with white light as much as you can. You're inside an egg. Picture that, and picture this wall coming around you that's very, very, very thick. Very thick white light wall. This is your wall of protection, and you will use it throughout the day to protect you, to guide you, as well as to keep any negativity off of your body. It will just bounce off of your auric shield. So sit and build your auric shield. And when you are finished, please thank Spirit by saying, God grant me health, protection, and guidance. Thank you, Spirit. And then it's always best to sit for a few minutes and let your mind and your feelings, as well as your blessed higher self, wander out there in the universe, just in case there's a message to be brought back to you. So sit for another few moments, and then do some deep breathing. Take a deep breath. Take another deep breath, and allow yourself to come back into the room. You have just cleared yourself of negativity and worked your chakras.